The Holy Gospel for this fourth Sunday of Advent is from the Gospel according to St. Luke, the first chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by these words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And therefore the child to be born will be holy. He will be called the Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, also has conceived a son, and this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren, for nothing will be impossible with God." And then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." And then the angel departed from her. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Well, once again, everyone, welcome to worship. This is, as I've shared, the Advent season, the Christmas season right around the corner. This time of year is full of many, many traditions. One of the traditions here at Faith Lutheran Church is the annual Lessons and Carols service, which we offered last Sunday. And I know that watching worship on a television screen or a computer screen isn't the same as being here. But I do have to say that last week's Lessons and Carols service was beautiful. And the good thing is, if you missed it, you can watch it again. You can watch it later today or anytime you want. It's listed in the archives of the worship services on our website. Once again, many thanks to the readers, to the musicians, to the singers, to the bell ringers, to everyone who was part of that service. And also many thanks to the members of this congregation who continue to generously support what we do as a congregation together, even though the ways we're doing it today are so, so very different. Another beautiful tradition we have here at Faith is every year during Advent, on Wednesday nights, we gather to pray, hold an evening prayer. This year, Clayton Faulkner, our director of music and worship, led hold an evening prayer on Zoom. But it was also simulcast live on Facebook Live, which is actually where I watched it. And one of my favorite parts of that service is the Annunciation, which is today's gospel reading set to music. For those of you who might not be familiar with Hold an Evening Prayer or the Annunciation portion of that prayer, I've asked Clayton if he could sing it for us again this morning.
From God to a town called Nazareth, to a woman whose name was Mary. The angel said to her, "Rejoice, O highly favored, for God is with you. You shall bear a child, and his name shall be Jesus, chosen one of God Most High." And Mary said, "I am the servant of my God. I live to do your will."
It's just beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful. And when you pray, hold in prayer, and the leader has sung the Annunciation, then all of our voices swell together to sing the words of Mary's Magnificat. It's a wonderful, wonderful way of remembering Mary, the mother of our Lord, and the birth of Jesus, and who he is. So I do want to encourage you to participate and hold an evening prayer on Wednesday, and of course to worship on Christmas Eve as well. If you were all assembled in the sanctuary this morning, there is a congregation participation component to today's message, and that goes like this. Whenever I put my hand on my chest, I'd like you to say the words, with me. So let's practice. With me. It will be handy. It will come up later. Two women, both visited by God. I can't hear this story without hearing the music that has been written by Marty Haugen to accompany the story. Elizabeth, now in the sixth month of carrying a child to be born whose name will be John, and Mary, engaged to be married to Joseph, now learning that she too has been chosen by God to bear a child who shall be called the Son of God, who shall be named Jesus. These are miracle stories. But they're such down-to-earth miracle stories that the wonders of the story have been recreated in the life of any woman who has discovered herself to be pregnant. Something miraculous, something amazing has happened, and I have been caught up into it. These are miracle stories. But they're stories that are tied to the miracle of life itself. To imagine that God, the creative power of the universe, who is in, with, and everything, and yet is joined to humanity within the womb of a young peasant girl from, of all places, Nazareth. The angel says to her, "For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary responds, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." In that response, Mary joins the chorus of the heroes of the faith down through the ages. In the 22nd chapter of Genesis, God reaches out to Abraham to test his faith with the possibility of sacrificing his long-awaited and only son, Isaac. And Abraham responds, "Here I am." In the 31st chapter of Genesis, God reaches out to Jacob in a dream and tells him it's time now for you to return home. And Jacob replies, "Here I am." In the 3rd chapter of Exodus, God reaches out to Moses in the wilderness and speaks to him from a burning bush. And Moses responds, "Here I am." In the 3rd chapter of 1 Samuel, a child named Samuel is repeatedly awoken with the sound of God calling his name until finally Samuel responds, "Here I am." And in the 6th chapter of Isaiah, God reaches out to the prophet Isaiah with a question, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" And Isaiah responds, "Here I am. Send me." Abraham, Jacob, Moses, Samuel, Isaiah. And to this great chorus of heroes now comes the voice of Mary. For Mary too says, "Here am I." And then she declares her willingness to do whatever it is that God is calling her to do. "Let it be with me according to your word." The year 2020 will go down in history as one of the most painful years in the history of our country. It's been a year of tremendous disruption and loss. Chief among those losses, of course, are the lives that have been lost. Over 300,000 Americans, over 1.7 million worldwide. And yet, in this disastrous year, 2020, in every city and country and village in the world, in the face of this deadly virus, every single day, doctors and nurses and healthcare workers and ambulance drivers have gotten up every single day. And whether they know it or not, their bodies have said a prayer. And that prayer goes like this. Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word. And they've stepped up and they've done what only they can do. Thousands of medical researchers, scientists, hundreds of thousands of volunteers involved in the testing protocols for the new vaccine have gotten up every single morning. And whether they know it or not, the prayer that their bodies have prayed has gone like this. Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word. Many of us are retired and we're able to stay largely safely at home. Many of us are blessed to be able to work from home. But every single day, workers of all kinds who still have jobs have gotten up to go do what only they can do. Teachers and school administrators show up to do the best they can for the children under their care. Gas stations, grocery stores, retail places, restaurants. My garbage has been picked up twice a week every week. Every single person saying this prayer with their bodies, whether they know it or not, here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word. You know, there's a strange little glitch in human psychology. It's this strange little defense mechanism that we've built in the back of our brain. It's that little voice in the back of our minds that reassures us, oh, don't worry. It can't happen to me. It can't happen to us. It can't happen here. But then life does happen. And we suddenly realize just how vulnerable we are. As vulnerable, perhaps, as a young woman who is shocked at the visitation of an angel, terrified at the announcement that she is to give birth to a child she's not prepared for, as vulnerable as her. Because the truth is, good and bad can happen to us. Good and bad can happen here. A simple virus can grow exponentially around the world until it happens to us and surrounds us. And if you were here this morning, I would ask a simple question. How many of your families have been touched by the coronavirus? And my guess is every single hand would go up in the air. A simple election, the cornerstone of life in a democracy, can be challenged and disrupted and threatened. Computer systems, the lifeblood of our economy, our communications, our national defenses, can be compromised and infiltrated and infected with another kind of malicious virus. Yes, it can happen. It can happen to us. The diversity of our communities, the gifts of God, people of all different shapes and sizes and colors and religions can be twisted and torn, causing people to turn against one another rather than working together for the common good. Yes, it can happen to us. All of that's possible. And in this past year, we've seen it all happen, even among us. It can happen here. But what does that mean, and where do we go from here? Two things I would have you remember this morning. The first thing I'd have you remember this morning is that Christmas is just around the corner. It's going to be a Christmas unlike any that we've ever seen in the past. If we are wise, we'll be doing far less traveling. If we are wise, we'll be very careful about who we gather with and when we gather with them. We're not going to have one of those years where everyone's at the house at the same time. We'll worship on Christmas Eve at home rather than here. It's going to be a different sort of Christmas, but the message will be the same. And at the heart of it, the message of Christmas is simply this, that the creative power of the universe, that the divine love of God became so incorporated and incarnated into human flesh that a child was conceived in the womb of Mary, and that that child was born to be named Jesus, for he will save us from our sins. Born to be named Emmanuel, for he is God with us. That's the heart of it. And that's the first thing for us to remember this day, that the God who was once born for us remains ever with us. Remains ever with me. And the second thing to remember is the response that Mary offers to the Lord's invitation to her. Here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word. God doesn't coerce Mary. God doesn't overpower Mary. Mary surrenders to God's will. And then Mary does what only Mary has been chosen to do. And so it is with all of us. God doesn't coerce us. God doesn't manipulate us. God doesn't overpower us. God doesn't pull dirty tricks to get us to do what God wants us to do. God loves us. God invites us. And whenever our response is this one, here I am, the servant of the Lord, let it be with me according to your will, then God can do amazing things in us, around us, and through us. Can that be our response to God? Can we, as individuals and as a congregation, living the chances and changes of our lives, can that be our response to God? Oh God, let it be with me according to your will. In each of our lives, whatever our responsibilities might be, whatever opportunities might be given to us to love our neighbor, to do our part, can that be our response? Here I am. Let it be with me according to your will. I began today's message with a song that comes to my mind every time I hear this story of the Annunciation. Every time I read the story of Gabriel's visit, I hear that song. But I also hear another song. And I would like you, together with me, to listen to the poetry of these words. When I find myself in times of trouble, Mother Mary comes to me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be with me. And in my hour of darkness, she's standing right in front of me, speaking words of wisdom. Let it be with me. And when the brokenhearted people living in the world agree, there will be an answer. Let it be with me. For though they may be parted, there is still a chance that they will see. There will be an answer. Let it be with me. Whisper words of wisdom. Let it be with me. And when the night is cloudy, there is still a light that shines on me, shines until tomorrow. Let it be with me. I wake up to the sound of music. Mother Mary, come to me, speaking words of wisdom. Let it be with me. Mary said, here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word. And here's the truth. When that's our response to God calling our names, then nothing is impossible. That was the reassurance that Gabriel gave to Mary. And that's the reassurance that Gabriel gives to us. Though the darkness comes, for nothing will be impossible with God. In Jesus' name, amen.